So we are holding on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line of the widest line. We learned in the Mishnah that we had first the Machlokas of Remeir and the Chachamim that we dealt with yesterday about who picks the third Dayan, if they're going to have a Zabla based in. And then we said, Zeb Postal Dayan Shal Zeb, Zeb Postal Dayan Shal Zeb, Zeb Remeir. We said Remeir says that each one can passel the other one's Dayan. And the Chachamim say only if they bring proof that the Dayan is actually objectively possible. He's a relative, or he's possible to judge a din Torah, but if they were kosher or mumcha, then not. So the question is, according to
that implies that the who says that
that's what we have to figure out. What does Reb Meir mean? So the question is, kol kaminin d'posel dayanei. What does that mean? Does he have the ability just on his own say so to say that the dying is possible? Yeah. No. Well, yeah. Okay. There's an expression. That's fine. There's an agatha. We're talking about it here. We're talking about it here. But as far as halacha, okay, to a certain extent, yeah, but whatever. Okay. Rabbi Yechanan says, which was an answer we used in a different context yesterday, that we're talking about over here about the Arkois in Syria, where you have Jews who sit on Batajinim over there, who are not necessarily such great experts in halacha, but the common people, everybody are commoners over there, everybody are Ame Aretz, or the next thing to it, so therefore they accept them. Nevertheless, though, the Baal Din, according to the mayor, has the ability to say, fine, there's no objective thing that makes him possible, but still I would consider that enough.
Well, that's not possible. That's
no, but in other words, I don't accept him as a dying. I want somebody else. So the question is, okay, but that's what it means. I don't allow him to sit on the space team. I have the ability to say I reject him as one of the members of the space team. So the question is, Abu Mumchim Boyt, you're telling me then that a mayor is saying that if they're Mumchim, it implies, and he doesn't have the ability to do it. Homer de Katani Sefer, but look at the Sefer. The Chum Mayim Emesite is Mancha Mebir Aisha and Kurvin Ipsulin. The Chum say, when can he pass or die? And when and say, I don't want to be judged by him, only if he brings evidence that they're relatives of Sulin. Abu Mayukhshir and Mumchim is based in any Yahalapa Islam, but if they're Kosher or Mumchim is based in, then he can't pass or them. The Cloud of the Mayor, Mumchim Nami Kamar. It sounds like the mayor disagrees even with that. But even Mumchim, he would say, the Baal Din has the ability to say, I don't want to be judged by this guy. Of course, to the story, I can understand, but if they're Mumchim, why would that be? On what basis does he have the ability to say?
Saying here, Akash, you can't.
But we're saying there's more than that. The Chachamim have to point out that if they're kosher or mumchim would be based in any Yochel post one, the implication is that Reb Meir would disagree with that point. Otherwise, otherwise the Chachamim don't have to mention the detail that if they're kosher or mumchim would be based in any Yochel post one. The fact that they have to mention that detail implies that Reb Meir would disagree with that. Yeah.
Why can they both agree on that?
Because then they shouldn't have to say it. Then all they should have to say is Amosite is Mancha maybe Raya that they don't know what they're doing or whatever. But yeah, okay. The answer is no. Hachukama no because Mikalb Rameh Mumchim Namakama. So yeah, no. Hachukama no because what the Chachamim might mean is Avalim Hayuk Sherin that if these Dayanim are kosher, that in other words he has no objective proof, he has no aidin. That in fact they're possible, nasu kumumchun mitibestin. Then for this purpose, we consider them the equivalent of mumchun mitibestin. Veni yachal apostlan, and therefore the other Baal Din cannot possible them. In other words, in other words, the Chachamim are not necessarily saying that, only if they're kloven or psulin. They can be saying like this, if they're kosher, even if they're our kosher shabasuria, that's not a valid enough reason to possible them. Once they've been accepted, then they're considered as if they were mumchim mitibestin. You want to apostle them, you have to have some kind of proof that they're apostle or proven or whatever. Whereas Reb Meir might argue with that and say that if it's Akoros Shibasuria, then he still has the ability to apostle them. Just by saying they're Akoros Shibasuria, I don't want to be judged by such people. But if they're mumchim mitibestin, then Taka Reb Meir would agree with the Chachamim that he has to, yeah. Okay.
And Chachamim would say, then he says,
Chachamim would say, the only thing you can castle them for is Klerim or Psulim.
If you prove it.
If you prove it, yeah, but hey. Yeah. Okay, Toshma, Omri Loi Lo Rameir, but let's look in a Braisa. Braisa says that they told Rameir, what do you mean, Loi Kol Hemen, or Shepo Sol Dayan, Shemum Chol Rabin? The Rabbanan say to the mayor, how can you accept that the guy should be able to passel a Dayan who has, or not passel, but fine, say, I'm not going to go to a Dayan who's mumcha l'rabim, who's a mumcha of the public. So it sounds like, again, it sounds like the mayor disagrees with that, and therefore the Chachamim have to point out to him, how can you say this thing? Again, the answer is, Eim eloi kol emen asher posel Dayan shehim hu rab malayim. No, mumcha l'rabim over here does not necessarily mean objectively that he is a mumcha l'rabim, that he has smicha, that he's known to be an expert, or whatever. Shem hu al rab maleim, the rabim have already previously accepted such a person on them, even though he's our koresh to the Syria, the rabbanim would argue that how can you allow him to refuse to be judged by such people? Whereas the mayor would disagree with that. But still, the mayor would say that if he's pasa objectively a mumcha, then yeah, you have no choice. You have to accept him as one of your dayanim. But if he's not objectively mumcha, if he's a koresh to the Syria, Rameya would say you have the ability to say, I don't want to be judged by him.
You can disqualify
him. Again, disqualify doesn't mean that you're going to say he can never judge again. It just means for this purpose.
Okay.
Okay. Tani nami hachi, indeed we learn in a braisa, but that's what Rameya means. La'olam post of a holach, that the Baal Din can always continue passeling any dayan that his opposite number, that his opponent, suggests. Achi kabalola based in shemumcha l'rab. Until he accepts on himself a Beis Din which is Mumcha L'Rabim. So we see that a mayor would hold, once the Beis Din is Mumcha L'Rabim, then that's it. It does not him Hu Aleim, as the Chachamim say, but that they're objectively Mumcha L'Rabim, then already he doesn't have any ability to say, I don't want to be judged.
Mumcha
L'Rabim would mean that they accepted them, even though maybe they're not the best quality. Mumcha L'Rabim means they're actually the best quality. They have Smicha. On the side over here, it brings a gear, sir, that should be Yachi Kabul all of the Snei Beis Din. Meaning it doesn't have to be, which actually Rashi has that gear say as well, that it doesn't have to be that he accepts, that it can be, once he accepts in front of a Beis Din a mumchim, that he's going to accept these people as his dayonim, not even necessarily the mumchim themselves, it can be our Kodesh of Assyria or whatever, then that's it, he doesn't have the right to protest anymore afterwards, yeah. But at least you have to have somewhere in the process over there has to be a Beis Din mumchim, otherwise, yes, the mayor would say that he could keep on refusing. Fine, so the question is, fine, but Edim in effect are like Mumchim, because when it comes to Dayonim, you need, besides that, you have two criteria that you need to be a Dayan. You have to be, there are certain things that no matter how much you know, you're going to be possible for Dayonis anyway. For example, if you're a relative of one of the Baal Din, or if you're a possible, or if you're a possible Din, for example, we'll talk about Aramid Beis, if he's from a family of Abadim or whatever. And then you have, but the
family of Adim,
he
cannot be.
Yeah, an Evid can't be a Dayan.
No,
that's what I mean. If we bring evidence, as we'll see on Aramid Beis, we bring evidence that he actually is an Evid. Yeah. So there's those kinds of things, but then you also have that a Dayan ideally should be a mumcha, that he should talk and know the halachas and maybe have smicha if possible or whatever. When it comes to aid, you don't need that second thing. You don't need any expertise to be an aid. All you need is just not to be a Torah of apostle. In other words, an aid effectively, as long as he's not a Torah of apostle, is the equivalent of a dayan mumcha. There's no better aid. Yeah, we'll see that later on the parak. That yes, there's machlokes of panarim on that, but the halacha is aid. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that aidim ordinarily are like mumchim. And yet, the Amr of Meir is a postal aid of Shalzeh, is a postal aid of Shalzeh. And yet, the Meir also says in the Mishnah that each one can disqualify the other one's agent, whereas the Chachamim say no, again, unless he brings proof that they're part of a postal. So it sounds like the Meir would say that even without the grounds of part of a postal, you can say, I don't accept these agents. Isn't that the equivalent then of saying, I don't accept these Dayonim Moshe? So then we see the Meir would allow you to refuse to be judged by these particular Dayonim Moshe.
How do you explain it for aid to mumchim?
Because, again, by dayanim, you need, besides that you have the code of the apostle, you also have the question of a mumchim. By aidim, there's no such thing. By aidim, as long as they're not code of the apostle, they're kosher aidim. So therefore, if the mayor is saying, and at face value it sounds like he's saying, you're bringing these aidim to substantiate your case, but I don't accept them as valid aidim, it sounds like he's able to say that. Well, then, by the same logic,
that doesn't necessarily mean that it applies to that.
Why shouldn't it? If he's able to passel aid him on no more than his say-so, why shouldn't he be able, by the same logic, to say on his own say-so? No, but aid him is also. The guy needs aid him for his thing.
So,
we have to figure out what he means by zet posel edev shel zet. So the answer is, look, ha-itmer Allah, but after all, don't you know that there was said about that, that that's not what Reb Meir means. It can't possibly mean that if you're coming to Beis Din, that Reuven and Shimon come to Beis Din, and Reuven has Edim, that Shimon can just say, for no good reason, I refuse to accept the testimony of these Edim. Of course not. We say on that, or later on in the Gemara, Amar Rish Lakish Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavah Zeh, that Rish Lakish says, how could the holy mouth of a mayor even think to say, even say such a thing? Obviously it can't be. Tani A Doi. No, you have to change the word in the Mishnah, not A Dove, that he says he can apostle to Adim. No, to Adim, of course, are kosher, unless he brings proof that they're kosher apostle. What we mean is there's one aid. If Reuven brings one aid, which all that would accomplish would be to make it that Shimon would have to swear to his claim. Then according to the mayor, which actually we'll see what we're talking about, so we're going to go further and see. But on the face of it, what we're saying is that then Shimon Taka has the ability to say, I don't accept that as a valid aid. If there's just one. So therefore, that's a different story. So now, one aid is not the same as Zayon and Molten. So therefore, arguably, you could say that. So we're discussing, does Reb Meir say that if the Dayonim are Mumchim, that you still have the ability to say, I don't want to be judged by these Dayonim?
Okay.
So we wanted to say on the basis of a Braita that not, but now that we're saying that he's able to castle Edim, apparently for no good reason other than just I don't want to accept them, then maybe he can do the same to Dayonim. So now we're saying that no, but he only has the ability to do that with one eight. But we still have to figure out, Lamai, Edim Lamai, in what connection are we talking this one eight? Elaine Lamon, are we talking about that the aid is going to make that? What are we trying to accomplish with that one aid? Elaine Lamon, if Reuven is bringing that one aid in order to force that, therefore, on the basis of his testimony, Shimon should have to pay him, can't Rahman apostle? The Torah says one aid is possible for that purpose. La Yakum aid achabish. And on the other hand, if Reuven wants to accomplish by bringing that one aid that Shimon should have to swear to the truth of his claim, well, yeah, he's just as trustworthy as two for that purpose. Well, no, not the aid. The aid never has to swear. We're talking about if an aid comes to Beis Din and says, Reuven is claiming that Shimon owes him money, let's say, and one aid comes and substantiates that. That is enough to make Shimon have to swear to it. If Shimon doesn't want to swear, then he will have to pay. If he swears, then he can be potter. So therefore, the Torah allows for that. That's as we'll learn later on. How would Shimon have the ability when Reuven brings in his one aid? What's the situation where Shimon would have the ability to say, "I'm sorry, I don't accept that one aid. I don't consider him valid." It can't be that he would say, "I refuse to pay on that basis," because he wouldn't have to anyway. He can't say, "I refuse to swear on that basis." The Torah says that one aid is enough to make him swear.
Okay.
So the answer is la'olam l'mamon. We are talking about that one aid would be enough to make him to pay mamon. How does that happen? Lo'y tzricha, the case the Mishnah has to be talking about is the kiblei alei kibet shrei, is that he accepted it on himself like two. In other words, that to begin with, when the case started, they knew there's only going to be one aid over there. But Reuven and Shimon mutually agreed, or Shimon in this case agreed, that your one aid is enough. If you can bring one aid to substantiate your claim, then fine, I'm willing to pay. Now, later on, after that one aid comes, then Shimon wants to change his mind and say, no, after all, you need two aids to make me pay. One aid can only make me make a shur. Can he do that? Reb Meir is saying yes. The Chachamim are saying no. So the question is, my kamash malunda matzi hadebe. Fine, then in that case, what is the whole point the Mishnah is trying to tell us? What is the whole point Reb Meir is trying to tell us in the Mishnah? The matzi hadebe, that he, after he accepted on himself an irregular thing like that, he's able to change his mind and say, I change my mind.
Well,
Tanena, but we learn that in the next Mishnah. We learn the same concept that Reb Meir said. Amale neman alay abba neman alay abicha. Suppose that one Baal Din says to the other, when it comes to Dayonim, that I accept my father can be one of the Dayonim, even though normally my father would be Pasul Eidus, because he's a relative of mine, or Neman Alay Avicha, I accept your father as being a valid Dayan, or Neman and Alay Gimel Roye Bakr, or I'm willing to accept three cowboys as the Dayonim. So that, and the Mishnah continues, or Meir Omer Yochel Lachtaboy, that the Meir says that afterwards he can change his mind and say, you know what, after all, no, I demand that we have proper dayonim. I demand that we have dayonim who are objectively valid. Bacham say you can't change his mind. So we see that's the same machloek. There, Amar of Dimi Breder of Nachman Breder of Yosef, you're going to Kibla Alei B'chad. What are we talking about over here? When we say Neman Alayo Abba, doesn't mean that he says that I accept that my father is going to be the only one judging us, or your father is going to be the only one judging us. Because that would be, we don't have to say that, because then even the Chachamim might agree that he could change his mind on that. To say that, a double thing, a double irregularity like that, number one, a Torah, and number two, one dying instead of three, sure, even the Chachamim might hold he can change his mind on that. But if he's saying that I'm accepting him as one dying out of three, meaning there'll be two other Dayanim who are objectively good with him, nevertheless, Rav Meir says that he can retract, and the Chachamim say no. So by the same logic, in our Mishnah, if we're talking about that Reuben brought one aid, and Shimon to begin with said, fine, Reuben, if you can bring one aid, then I'm willing to accept that as if it was two and pay up, and now he wants to say no, yeah, why should it be any different? So why do we need the Machloekus twice? The answer is tzricha. We still need it to be said in both cases, in the case of Dayonim, in the case of Edim in our Mishnah, and in the case of Dayonim in the next Mishnah. Because if we only have the case involving my father and your father as Dayonim, then you would say, then we could argue in that case, fine, the Chachamim say that he can't change his mind, because fine, they're not valid ordinarily as Dayonim for this case, because they're relatives of the parties involved. But they could just as well judge other cases. They're capable of judging cases for anybody else who they're not related to. But to say that one aid should count as if he was two, where you never have such a thing, you never have that, unless there's agreement beforehand, you never have that one aid can function as two when it comes to the name of it. Then we could argue, maybe they would agree with Rav Meir, yes, maybe they should concede to Rav Meir that in that case, it's irregular enough that maybe he should have the ability to change his mind afterwards. That's why we need them to be telling us, also in the case of Dayan, that he can't do that. V'i Yashmin and Baha, and conversely, if we only told it in the second Mishnah, you could argue the other way around. Baha Kram Rav Meir, fine. Rav Meir says there that he can change his mind. In our Mishnah, when it comes to Aiden, rather, Avavahi Eimu Mordulahu L'Rabbanon, but when it comes to Dayanim, again, maybe he would agree with the Rabbanon, because after all, the Abba and Avicha are kosher as Dayanim in other cases, as opposed to one aid, which is never kosher. So therefore, we need both Mishnah. So you could say that is the machlokas in our Mishnah. It could be when Rav Meir is saying zeh poysel eid of shol zeh, again, it can mean like Rish Lakish changed the wording, not eid doy plural, but eid doy in the singular. But we're talking about over here where he was willing to say, if you bring one aid, then fine, I'll pay up. Now he wants to change his mind after that one aid showed up. Rav Meir says yes, the Chachamim say no.
And so we need the two discussions.
So we need the two discussions, because otherwise we would think that they are, and one for the Dayanim, and we would think that the difference is one aid never equals two aidim, whereas what a Dayan who's possible because he's a Korev is kosher to judge in other cases for other people. Yeah.
And in other words, we cannot infer.
So we couldn't infer. Dayanim, not from aid. Yeah. From aidim, yeah. Okay. The problem with that is, But the problem with that is that if you're going to change the word Eidim in our Mishnah to Eidim, then that creates a problem. Because look back at our Mishnah. It started by saying, which is in the singular. When we talk about a Zabla based in, that each one can say the Dayan who you picked for the Zabla based in, I hold him to be disqualified, I don't want to be judged by them. And it says Dayan Noy in the singular. Then the Sefer Eidav, then later on the Mishnah continues in the second Machlokas of Rameir and Machlokas by saying Eidav plural, Almadavka Katani. So therefore, obviously, the Tana of the Mishnah, the fact that he used the singular first and then a plural by Eidim, obviously it must mean he meant it that way. Now, it's not some mistake. If you only had the one Machlokas independently involving Eidim, fine, you could say. But like this, obviously he must mean Eidim plural. So not like Rish Lakish says that he's only coming to Papal one Eid, he's evidently coming to Papal two Eidim. In that case, then we're back to what we asked before. In that case, two Eidim, the Torah trusts two Eidim. Therefore, for that purpose, they're the equivalent of Dayanim Mumchim, because again, Eidim don't need it. Adam don't need any other qualifications except not being part of a apostle, and yet Rameyer is saying that he's able to apostle them on no more reason than I say I don't accept them as Adam. By the same logic, wouldn't he say the same by Dayanim? Even if they're mumchim, so even if they have all the qualifications of Dayanim, he should still apparently be able to say, I don't want to be judged by them. Amar Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar says, no. The case he doesn't say the word no, but Rav Elazar is going to explain that no. When we're saying over here, Zepoitel Adab Shalzeh, we're not talking about that. Up until now, we assumed that Zepoitel Adab Shalzeh, Zepoitel Adab Shalzeh, just means that, for example, Reuben having brought Adim, Shimon is able to say, I don't accept that as a valid aid. Or now that we're saying to Adim, I don't accept them as valid Adim, and therefore I hold you don't have any proof. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is talking about according to Rav Elazar, the Bahu V'Achel L'Poislon. The case that we're talking about is that Shimon is going to be one of two Adim, along with Levi, who is not a party to the Din Torah, to say that these Adim are apostles, to actually bring Eders that these Adim are apostles.
Shimon being
the other Baal Din. So you have Reuben brought two Adim to substantiate his case. Shimon now wants to join together with Levi, who's not a party to the thing, and say, we are two Adim, who can testify that those two Adim that Reuben brought are apostles. And that would be the Machlokes, where Rameyer says we can accept them as one of the two Adim for that, and the Chachamim say not. So again, the question is, Kol Kamine, what's the Hava? I mean, it's the thing that you should accept such Adim. Negev Adim, he's Negev Adim, obviously. He has a Shimon has an obvious vested interest, he has an obvious conflict of interest in when it comes to such Adim. Of course he'd want to claim that Reuben's Adim apostle, that way there's no evidence against him and he doesn't have to pay. How can we think to accept him as one Adim for that purpose?
Unless he brings a proof.
No, even if he brings a proof, Negev Adim, he's apostle Adim. So Rav Acha Brei Rav Ikka says, we're not talking about when he comes and says the guy is possible. He just says he's possible. He's actually saying that he has a shemetz psul, a shemetz shel psul, Rashi says, that he has actual evidence that the guy is possible.
Shikara
Olav Arar, that he's pointing out an arar is an objection, saying that there's an objective reason to say that the guy is possible. The question is, Ara Jamai, what kind of error are we talking about? Ilema Ara de Gazlan. So if you're going to say that he brings Adus, let's say that the guy is a Gazlan or some other possible Adus, can't. Again, Kol Kamine, how is that possible? Negev Adus. Again, how can you accept as Adus that this guy is a Gazlan? He's Negev Adus. Basically, you should refuse to accept such Adus from him. Fine, if you can find Levi and Yehuda, we'll come and testify to Beis Din that these Adim are Gazlan. And fine, we've got to accept them. Neither of them are a party to the case. But if Shimon comes as one of the agents saying they're Gazlonim, how do you accept that? El Arad Pagam Mishpacha. No, rather what we're talking about here, the Iru is that he comes and claims that the guy has a flaw of Mishpacha, namely that he is an Eved, that he and his family are apostles. So why would Rameyer say that you can accept it? Rameyer Sava, because Rameyer holds like this. The fact that you're making the guy apostle is kind of a side effect. When Shimon and Levi now come to Beis Din and say, we give Eders that this guy, the Eid, that one of these Eidim, that his family is a family of Avadim, and therefore that he's an Eved, basically they're saying Eders on the entire family. So therefore, he's not Negev Adover as far as that way. He's not Negev Adover as far as the family as a whole. The Iyum and Melech apostle. It comes out as a side effect if this aid who's coming against Shimon becomes possible. But it's not a direct thing. Therefore, a mayor could say that that's not considered Negev Eid. So it so happens that as a side effect of what he said. Okay. But Rabbanon Tabri, so he says Negev Eid. So whereas the Rabbanon would hold in this Sakhalavacha, after all these Negev Eid, you do have to consider the ramifications of his aid. The ramifications come out that, yeah. Okay. Fine. So that would be the
Machlokes.
Because your mayor can say that after all, it's not the same Adus. He's giving Adus on a different fact. That this whole family, the Goldstein family, are above it. It turns out because of that now Yankel Goldstein is coming to Din Torah. It turns out to be possible aid. Who's coming to give Adus against him happens to be possible aid. It's fine. The mayor says that that's a side thing.
That's interesting that you could do that.
Obviously they have to have evidence. They have to bring proof to it. But yeah. We're not just saying they come and say they have to bring some kind of proof to it.
saying he brought proof that the guy was Gosling. What's proof in this case?
In this case, for example, yeah, they bring how exactly would you prove for Gam Mishpacha, for example, you could prove, let's say that that we know that we saw for example that his father was an Evan, for example. We saw that his father was sold in Evan, let's say. Whatever.
But then my single testimony says
the two of us saw.
What two of us?
The Shimon, who's one of the Baal HaDin, as well as Levi, a third party.
We're only talking that I can enjoin my...
That you can be one of the two Adim for that purpose. Of course you can't come on your own. One aid by itself is nothing.
Yeah, the guy's an abbot. You can be a third party with a litigant. Yeah. I could be, right. Okay, so if it seems the God one, I can't do that. Even if I have a friend that also...
But if you're coming to apostle the whole family and as a side effect it comes out
that
you're apostling him, then yeah, then important to maybe you can. Okay.
That's a deep chachma.
Okay.
To differentiate.
Yeah. Okay.
Very hard to understand.
Now, all this is one explanation. So far we've had two explanations of what Rav Meir is saying in the Mishnah. We had Rish Lakish's explanation that when he says Zeh Poitel Eid Dov Shal Zeh, doesn't mean Eid Dov, it means Eid Doi, a singular aid, where he accepted him as two and now wants to change his mind. We had Rav Dimi Brezer of Nach. On the basis of the wording of the Mishnah, right? We had Rav Dimi Breder of Nachman's explanation, not Rav Dimi, we had Rav Elazar's explanation, rather, that we're talking about that one of the Baal HaDinim wants to join together with somebody else to apostle them, right? Now we're going to have another answer. She also said Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yechman, Machloikos B'Shtei Kita Eidim. The Machloikos in our Mishnah is, suppose that Reuven says that I have two sets of Eidim that can testify to this. Now, so what happens? So he brings his first pair of Eidim. So Rashi has two different ways of understanding what the Gemara is saying over here. So let's first go through the first one. Reuven says, I have two pairs of Eidim. I have two pairs of Eidim that can testify to this. He brings the first pair. The Loiva, Shimon, together with Levi, together with somebody else, brings Eidos that they're false. This is explaining what the Gemara is saying. So again, Reuven says to the Beis Din, you should know, I claim that Shimon owes me money, and I can bring two different sets of Eidim to say that. I can bring Moshe and Aaron, and I can bring Yanko and Shmer. So he brings Moshe and Aaron, and Shimon gets up in front of Beis Din together with Levi and says, I'm sorry, I have evidence that these Eidim that Moshe and Aaron are plus the latest. And it could even be Gavlonos, for example. Rav Meir would hold that he's not negeya be'edus because, after all, Reuven said he has another pair of Eidim. So in that case, as we're going to say, Rav Meir would hold. So let's learn the Gemara. Rav Meir sabat sorech lebarer. Rav Meir holds that he has to be able to clarify everything that he said. Meaning, if he said that he has two sets of Eidim, he's obligated to bring both those sets of Eidim. If he brings Moshe and Aaron, and it turns out that they're puffles, and he can't later on find Yankel and Shmerel to bring them, tough luck, that's his problem. He shouldn't have mentioned in the first place that he has two sets of Eidim.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to, if he does bring all four of them, it turns out the first two Eidim are puffles, not our problem. Okay, he thought they were kosher. We can't disqualify his case on the basis of that. So therefore, so Rav Meir would hold the fact that Shimon, together with Levi, are going to bring Eidos, that the first two Eidim apostle, that doesn't matter. It still doesn't affect the validity of Reuven's case, because now it's still up to Reuven to bring the other two Eidim.
Which are
available, yeah. And if Reuven can't find them, that's his problem.
Why do we require him to find those other two Eidim?
Because Rav Meir holds, Rav Meir is holding a concept called Sorech Levara. We learned about this in Brava Basra, actually, in a different context. We talked about it over there. Tosfos mentions it. Over here, we talk about a case over there where a person claims that he has Chazaka as well as Shtar. Where we said over there, we wrote over there, pointed right. Of Shimon and Leo, that he has to bring all of the evidence that he claims to have. He has to bring, and then we'll evaluate it. So the same thing over here. He says he has two sets of Eidim. Fine, you need to bring both sets of Eidim. If afterwards it turns out that one set of Eidim have skipped the country and therefore they can't come, tough luck. You shouldn't have said in the first place.
Two Eidim is tricky, man.
That's fine. But nevertheless, since he himself said since he himself stated that he has two plus two, then he's obligated to bring all of them according to the mayor. Whereas the Rabbanan would hold he does not need to be Mevara, meaning he could say, afterwards he could say, I'm sorry, I can't find the other two Edim after all. And if his first Edim are good, then it's still good, and if not, then not. But the point is, therefore, for Shimon, together with somebody else, to come and give Edus on these first two Edim that they're possible would be Negevaj of it. Because he has the ability to passel Reuven's whole case, and he can't do that. Okay, that's Rashi's first.
I mean,
the Chachamim would say that Hachila, we don't allow Shimon and Levi to come give that testimony against those first two Edim, because really they're all that Reuven needs. Like you said, Tere Kameya. Once he brings those two, that ought to be enough. We're not going to tell Reuven you must bring the other two, otherwise you don't have a case. So therefore, once he has those two, then that's enough to establish his case all by itself, even if the other two never show up. And therefore, Shimon plus another guy, Levi, don't have the ability to pass to them.
And if, according to Chachamim, if he cannot establish these two first, then does he have the recourse of bringing the two?
He can still bring the other two, fine, but we don't allow. So if Levi and Yehuda, two people who are not party to the in Torah, were to come and testify on these two that they're Gazlonim or other Psula Edus or whatever, sure, then Reuven will have no choice but to find his other two Edim if he wants to have a case. But we're not going to allow Shimon, who's one of the Baal Edin, to be one of the ones who testifies against them. Okay, then Rashi said, so Rashi brings a couple of questions on this explanation, and therefore Rashi brings an explanation the other way around. Reb Meir is the one that holds Ein Tzarech Levara, the opposite of the Girsa that we have over here. Meaning, in other words, that if he says, I have two sets of Edim, and he brings one of them, then and one of them turns out to be possible, doesn't matter. As long as he has a pair of Edim that are kosher, then that's enough. Therefore, it's not Negev Edus to possible the first one. Whereas the Rabbanan would hold Tzorech Levara, that, therefore, in other words, that he's Negev Edus, because if he possible... What? Tzorech Levara. Tzorech Levara. He has to clarify. He said he has two sets of Edim, and that means both of them have to be kosher a set. Therefore, if you disqualify one, you're disqualifying this case, and you can't do that. But Rambam actually brings a third explanation, which is that Reb Meir would hold that we say to Reuven like this: you yourself are saying that you have two sets of Edim. That means you. Now, why would you do that? Before you know perfectly well that Tere Kameya, two Edim are enough. Obviously, you yourself have reason to think that one of them might be possible. In that case, Tzorech Levara, you have to clarify to us. You have to find out which one is the kosher of pair, and we'll accept that one and then ignore the other one. Whereas the Chachamim would hold Ein Tzorech Levara, the Chachamim would hold it's not his responsibility to do that. And therefore, fine. Let him bring either set of Edim. Fine. If other Edim come that one set is possible, then fine. We'll deal with that then. But we can't allow Shimon to be one of those to be one of the parties to that. Yet.
Why are they calling it two sets and not just? Could one of three be the star? Why don't we want two?
Well, it could. When we say two sets, we're going to talk about later on. Later on in our parak, for example, you can have one set who actually saw the loan. It wasn't necessarily all four were standing there at the same time as the loan. It could be two of them were standing there at the time the loan was taken out, and two others were there when the loiver was moida in their presence and said, hey, you will I aid him that I owe X amount to Pliny.
So they wouldn't be
the tariff, but they wouldn't be the... We're going to talk about later on in the parak, actually. The question is, what are they being made on? Are they being made on the mona, or are they being made on the... We'll get to that, yeah. But the point is that, yeah. Okay.
So it's a partial Edus.
No, it's not a partial Edus. One set of Edim says we sold a loan. The other set of Edim can be saying, we, in our presence, Shimon said, you be my Edim that I have to owe this money to Reuven. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Avo Bakat Achas, but Rav Dimi continues, that in the name of Rav Yechanan, that if there was taka only one set of Edim, Divra Hakel and Yachol Apostle, then true, everybody would agree that Shimon, the other Baal Din, can't join together with somebody else to topple them, because then he's definitely in a Gev Gavar, then if he has his way, there won't be a case. Omru Lefon of Rav Ami Rav Asi, so Rav Ami and Rav Asi asked Rav Yechanan, after he said this din, Ein Shem Alakat Achas Mahu, so what if there is only one set? What are they meaning? Rab Ami and Rab Asi asked Rab Yechanan. When Rab Yechanan said this din, which later on Rab Dimi reported, then they asked him, what if there's only one set? the question, what do you mean? You don't have to ask. You just said, Rabbi Yochanan, and finished by saying that if there's only one pair, then everybody agrees that Shimon can't be an aid against them. Yeah. Ella, no. Rather, what Rav Ami and Rav Asi meant to ask is as follows. Nimtis kat shnia kreven et stolen mahu. What happens if, up until now, we were talking about whether Shimon, together with somebody else, are able to come and topple the first set of aiding? What about now? The first set of aiding, let's say, came and gave their aiders, and then Shimon and somebody else are going to be coming to passel the second set of aiding. If it turns out that they're kriven of stolen, mahu, what would be the din? Omalehen, he says to them, kvaher idu, aidim murder shaydim. Fine, okay, but the first aidim have already said, the first set of aidim have already said aiders. So therefore, okay, so again, Rashi has two explanations over here of what the question is and what the answer is. One is that when it turns out the second set of aidim apostle, at that point, according to Rashi's first explanation, the question is, what if, again, we have two sets of aidim. We said, according to the mayor, that Shimon and Levi will be able to come and give aiders that they're craving at Sulim, and the mayor is not worried about that because, fine, you still have the second set of aidim in reserve.
Therefore, he's not
a David Dover. Now, what happens, though, if the second set of aidim do turn out, on the basis of other evidence, to be craving at Sulim? Now, Taka Reuven, if we had known that was going to be the case at the time, then we would know he was in the Geva Dama. So he answers, Kvar Ha'idu Edim Harishonim. Yes, the first Edim already gave Edus. In other words, when they gave Edus, they weren't Negeva Edus. When Shimon and Levi gave their Edus at the time, they weren't yet Negeva Edus, because there was no reason to think at that point that the next set of Edim are going to turn out to be possible. So therefore, they already gave Edus, which was Behesher, saying that these first two Edim are possible. Fine. It turns out, after all, that they were Negev Edus, but we didn't know that at the time, and therefore it's fine, because at the time they weren't. And not just we didn't know, at that time they weren't Negev Edus, because there were other Edim available. Then Rashi brings
it could have been known before.
If it could have been known, then fine.
Although it wasn't known, but it could have been known.
It could have been known. I mean, if the Krovim have stolen, then it means it could have been known before, because it could have been fine. But the fact is, it wasn't. There was no evidence to that effect. Until we have evidence that the Krovim have stolen, there's nothing to talk about. Anyway, that's one explanation of Rashi. Then the other explanation is, no, what he means is that what he means is the first pair of Edom already gave Edus, and we believe them. So therefore, the case has been proved. The second set of Edom are possible. But no, the second explanation is the opposite of the first one. In the first explanation of Rashi, we're saying that because at the time when Shimon and Levi gave their Edus, they were not Negev Edus, therefore their testimony turns out to be acceptable. There was first Edom apostle, and now it turns out on the basis of other evidence, the second Edom are also apostle, and therefore Reuven doesn't have a case. According to Rashi's second explanation, which actually he says he prefers the first explanation, but he says according to the second explanation, it's the other way around. Because now it turns out that the second set is possible, therefore now we know the first one turned out to be a negev eidos, and therefore we have to discard their eidos and say we don't have any evidence after all that the first set are possible, and we call them back in and accept their Because it turns out now, the second set is possible, therefore it turns out that after all, the Shimon and Levi, when they said the first set are possible, it turns out they were negev eidos. Because it turns out, because of them now, there's no case.
At the time they said it.
According to the second Lashon, we don't say that. According to the second Lashon, what? That's why Rashi says he doesn't like the first explanation, because the expression kvar heidu implies that we're focusing on the fact once it's done, it's done, not that we discard their, yeah. Okay. Ikadamri, another version is that it wasn't Rav Yochanan who answered that, but Rav Ashi. I'm a Rav Ashi, kvar heidu heidu heidu. Same idea. Okay, fine.
What's the halacha?
The halacha is not like a mayor anyway. So the halacha is like a chachamim that to begin with Shimon is possible as a an aid against them. Yeah. Name of a, fine. If we're saying that a mayor holds tzorich levarer and the chacham hold ein tzorich levarer, again, that we had this, we talked about before, where he says he has two sets of edim, where according to the mayor we're going to make him bring all four edim to Beis Din, and according to the chachamim we're not. Neymar, should we say, should we say that they're arguing on the same point that Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel argue about, which we learned at the end of Baba Basra? The Tanya, we learned over there a case where somebody comes to Beis Din saying that I have a shtar on this field, and I also have shtar, and I also have Shnei Chazaka. So wouldn't Shnei Chazaka ought to be enough? Because we said usually a person doesn't keep his shtar after 3 years. But in this case, he says, I do have my shtar still. Nidin b'shtar d'vei Rebbe. So we said, according to Rebbe, he gets judged on the basis of the shtar, meaning that he has to bring his shtar to Beis Din, and we'll see whether it's valid. Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Nidin b'chazaka. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, we judge him based on chazaka, meaning that he needs Ede Chazaka. Hold on. And we discussed over there in Baba Basra and that Sylvia. What do you mean, Chazaka v'loy the shtar? So what does that mean? According to the Shimon Gamliel, we're going to completely ignore the shtar, and he just has to bring Ede Chazaka. Why should he have to bring Ede Chazaka? Even if he doesn't have Ede Chazaka, he has a shtar. As long as he can be mekayim it, what's the problem? Elaim af the Chazaka. So we have to say what Reb Shimon Gamliel meant is either one. If he has Edim for the Chazaka, good. If he has the ability to be mekayim the shtar, good. Either way. And we established over there that the underlying machloikus is over there the question of tzarech levarer, where again he says that I have two. He says that I have two things. Does he have to bring both of them to Beis Din or not? It sounds like and Rebbe says he does. When Rebbe says nidin b'shtar, divrei Rebbe means basically he's going to need both. He has an edus chazaka, but he's going to need to bring a shtar as well. So he holds like Rebbe, tzarech levarer. Maybe he doesn't even necessarily need both. But still, the fact that we say nidin b'shtar, why should we say he has to be mekayim his shtar? According to Rebbe, that he dafka has to be mekayim his shtar because tzarech levarer. He volunteered the information that he has a shtar, therefore he's got to bring it. And Reb Shimon Gamliel, who gives him a choice, would be like the Rabbanon over here. So yeah, the wire of Meir and the Rabbanon arguing on the same point as Reb Shimon Gamliel. Why should it be different? So the answer is like, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon Gamliel kolam leitzvi. No, within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, nobody is disagreeing. Everybody, in other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you have a choice of one or the other. And neither the mayor nor the Chachamim, in our case over here, are arguing with that concept. The Tipligi Aliba de Rebbe, the Machloikas is within what Rebbe says. Because the difference is, unlike in our case over here with the two sets of Edim, one set of Edim does not depend on the other. As opposed to Shtar and Chazaka, the Chazaka by itself is nothing. You need the Chazaka is only on the basis of the Shtar.
When you use the Shtar.
You need the Shtar to begin with in order to be able to establish Chazaka. If you just say,
so
I mean,
you can have another
sign. You can have fine. You can say that I inherited it from my father, but then you'll need aid for that. But if you're claiming that I bought it from you and I've had it for Shnei Chazaka, I bought it from you implies there was a Shtar. So therefore, so they're arguing within what Rebbe is saying. The Reb Meir to Rebbe. Reb Meir is just going straight like Rebbe, that you said you have a shtar, bring your shtar. And therefore, similarly, when you said you have two sets of Edim, bring both sets of Edim. The Rabbanan Amrilach, whereas the Rabbanan would argue it's not necessarily the same thing, because they could argue that in this case, they could argue that even Rebbe would not hold like that in our case over here, unlike in the case over there, because Abkan Lekamer Rebbe Hossam Alav Chazaka to be Kayach Shtar Kasi. Rebbe is only saying over there, bring your shtar, because the Chazaka only exists by virtue of the shtar. Note, if there hadn't been a shtar in the first place, there's no Chazaka. But over here, the two sets of Edom don't depend on the other. After the Rebbe, by the name of Chavar, even Rebbe might agree you don't have to bring both sets. And that's what the Rabbanon would hold the week.
So that's two different machloikas.
So it's two different machloikas, and therefore it's not repetitious to have the two different sets. Okay. Fine. Now we have yet another, going back to again, we have to figure out what Reb Meir meant in our, we're still in the middle of working out what Reb Meir meant in our Mishnah by Zep Poisel Edom Shalzeh, Zep Poisel Edom Shalzeh. So far we went through three possibilities. Now we're going to have another one.
We had
Rish Lakishes, that it's Edoi. We had Reb Elazar that Shimon and Levi together are trying to come and tassel him, and we had Reb Dimi Omer Reb Yechanan that we're talking about. There were two sets of Edom available, and he and somebody else want to tassel him. He also Robin Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he explained that Rabbi Yechanan gave a different explanation. Reisha, the Edim Psulin Vadayonin Ksheri. The first case of our Mishnah, remember we had two machlokes in our Mishnah. One where we said, Zeh poisel dayonar shalzeh, zeh poisel dayonar shalzeh. And then we had zeh poisel edim shalzeh, zeh poisel edim shalzeh. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about where the Baldin, Shimon, let's say, is arguing that I hold that the dayon, I claim that the dayonim apostle, and I claim that the edim apostle. And it turns out that he's right about the edim and wrong about the dayonim. It turns out that he's true. He's telling the truth. The Edim Taka are apostles.
In this version of Rabbi
Yochanan. In this version, yeah. So he claimed that both the Edim and the Dayanim apostle, but it turns out the Dayanim apostle, however, Migo de Pasli Edim, Pasli Nama Dayanim. However, since it turns out that he was telling the truth about the Edim, therefore, we believe him about the Dayanim as well, and we don't require him to be judged by those Dayanim.
What, because he could have said initially?
No, not because he could have said, but just because... Since it turned out that he was right about the Edim, then therefore we'll accept the part of his
what's
claim.
Migur?
It's not a regular Migur like an older shot, Migur just means because. Because we're accepting one part of what he's saying, since it turns out that he was telling the truth about the Edim, therefore we believe him about the Dayanim as well. The Sefer is talking about the other way around, is he claimed against the Edim and the Dayanim apostle. It turns out it's true, the Dayanim are apostles. And therefore, demigu de pasli dayonim, pasli nami edim. So therefore, again, so according to the mayor, again, we would say that once he said the dayonim apostle, and it turned out that he was right, then if he claims the edim apostle too, we have to believe him, and we can't accept those edim against him. And according to the rabbanon, not we don't hold of that migu. He said one group is apostle, fine, they're apostle, but the other ones remain kosher. I can understand the logic that if he says that once he says the Edim apostle, then we don't force him to go to the Zayonim as well, who he also claimed apostle, because there's always an alternative. Because fine, then we can tell Reuven, fine, Shimon refuses to go to your base since he claims the apostle. There's taka no evidence of it. There was evidence that the Edim you brought apostle. Fine, choose another base. Elamigur de pasli dayonim pasli nami edim. But what do you mean? Because he passed the dayonim, therefore we should accept his claim, the edim apostle. Well, edim too lekker. Reuven's not going to be able to find any other edim. How can we allow such a thing?
Who says that?
That's Rover asking. The answer: loitzricha deka katacheres. Fine, but the case we could be talking about in the Mishnah is where there is indeed another pair of edim. So then, fine. So we'll tell. Well then, well, but that.
So
what are you going to tell me? If there's no other pair of Edim Hachinam de Lematzi Pasli, then Taka there, and he's not able to passel them on the basis of passel and Dayanim. In that case, Hainu de Rabdimi. Then what's different from this answer and Rabdimi's answer?
Well,
Rabdimi's answer was saying that there were two sets of Edim. He also was saying there's two sets of Edim. The answer is Ikabinayo Migri. Yes, but the argument between Robin's version and Rabdimi's version would be on this question of do we accept this concept of Migri? Namely that this idea that we say once causality, once he said one set is possible, then we accept his claim that the other one is possible as well. So Robin would hold that Robin would hold of this migui. He's the one who brought into the idea. But if it weren't if it weren't for that, then Taka wouldn't be possible. If he had never claimed that the Dayanim apostle, we Taka wouldn't believe him to say that the Edim apostle, even if there are two sets of Edim. Whereas according to Robin's understanding of Rav Meir. According to Rav Dimi, we don't say Migri, so therefore it doesn't matter. He said the Dayanim apostle doesn't affect the kashrus of the Edim at all.
Right.
So therefore, that makes a difference. Okay, Marsha asks.
That's
the last answer. And Marsha asks, in that case, then why did we need to say that the underlying argument between them is on the question of Migri? The Gemara could have just said, yeah, it sounds like they're just arguing on the theoretical basis of it, but you have a bit more of a practical thing even if the Dayanim are not possible, then as long as you have a second pair of Edim, he can possible them according to the Dimi and according to Robin. You don't need the underlying concept of Migri. Yeah, well, in other words, even if Migri doesn't apply, even if it turns turns out the Dayanim are kosher. Even if it turns out the Dayanim are kosher, according to, or even if he never claimed anything about the Dayanim at all, according to the Dimi, he hasn't the ability to argue on the first set of Adim, and according to Robin, he doesn't. Okay, so that's Marshall's question on the Gemara. Okay. Gufa. Now getting back to something that we said earlier in the Sukkia. Omer Shlokish Pek Kodesh, we're going to have some interesting agadah over here about the way they learned Torah in Eretz Yisrael versus in Babel.
So before we
get to that, so we have four different possible answers of what Rameyer means in the halakha of the Chachamim anyway.
Which is that
the Baal Din doesn't have the ability to pass Eidim unless he has objective proof that they're creating of Solomon. Gufa, we said before, Omer Rish Lakish Pek Kodesh Yomidavazeh. Rish Lakish asked before, how could it be that the holy mouth of the mayor should say such a thing, that you're able to pass or two Adim that the other guy brought? Tony Edo, you have to say that he's talking about one aid, which we said before, the Dimi Vader of Nachman said that it means that he said one aid, which I accept as two. So we're going to ask, I'm Loshin Rish Lakish Yid. Any, is that so, that Rish Lakish would use such an expression? Ba'ama Ula, didn't Ula say, Haroyas Rish Lakish Beis Medrash, whenever somebody saw Rish Lakish in the Beis Medrash, Kilo Oika Horim B'Tochnim Zebazet. It looked as if he was taking mountains and ripping them out of the ground and grinding them up against each other. In other words, Rish Lakish was a very sharp guy. So therefore, how is it that he would use such a respectful expression about Rameyer and call him Pek Kodesh? You'd expect that a starker guy like that, he would just say, I don't understand what Rameyer is saying, or something to that effect, or what Rameyer means to say is Eder. They should say an expression Pek Kodesh. That sounds a little unusual. The Gemara says Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, why not? Why would it be so unusual for him to be using such a respectful expression on Rameyer? But if anybody sees Rameyer in the Beis Medrash, kilo oika hore horim b'tochnim and zebazeh. Rameyer looked like somebody who's digging up mountains upon mountains and then grinding them against each other. In other words, Rameyer is on an even higher level than Rish Lakish. Yeah, why? Well, that's the question. Why are you so surprised that Rish Lakish should use such a respectful expression on Rameyer when he? So why are you so surprised? That's the question. Why is the Gemara so surprised that Rish Lakish should use such an expression?
A little demeaning for Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish used the expression on
Rameyer. Kodesh, he used it on. Yeah.
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 It's a bit demeaning, isn't it?
No, not really. Actually, there's an interesting explanation from a sefer called Sanhedrin Ktana. He says you find in other places that Rameyer was very, very sharp. Rameyer was a chori. And for that reason, the other Chachamim couldn't always understand what he was saying.
Right.
So therefore. Well, the halacha in most places is not like Rameyer, but yeah. For that reason, the Gemara says in Eruvin, because the Chacham couldn't always understand what he was getting at. The point is, therefore, Adarabba, you could argue, as Gemara mentions in a few places, the sharper a person is, the sharper he is, the more likely it is that he might misspeak. Maybe Adarabba, Rish Lakish, should think to himself, Taka, because Rameyer was so chorif, therefore, Taka, he misspoke, and he said A-dub when he meant A-dub. But that's why we're asking.
You're
if you're sharper, you're so quick to think of a good idea, you might not think of the right words to put it in. But that's just it. What we're saying is, Adarabba, Rish Lakish should have. Why are you so surprised? And the Gemara is going to answer that he's not saying it. That the Gemara is not asking it in surprise. It's saying, no, we're not asking why is Rish Lakish using that expression. It's so unusual for him. We're saying, come look at what the expression Rish Lakish uses to show how much the Talmud Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael love each other. That he used such an expression on Rameyer. And that's the point. The Sanhedrin Ktana says, the point is that Rish Lakish, instead of thinking that way on Rameyer, you know what, fine, he misspoke because of his charitus. Adarabba, he uses a complimentary expression to him, Pek Kodesh, Yom HaDavar Zeh, how is it possible a holy mouth should misspeak like that because they loved each other so much. Because the Talmud Chacham and Eretz Yisrael loved each other so much. Kiha. Well, they were from different generations, but yeah. As we find another example of that, where we see that the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael really loved and respected each other. As we find that Rebbe was one time sitting, Bekaomer, and he was teaching a halacha, also lahatmin es hatzonin. On Shabbos, we know you're not allowed to wrap up hot food on Shabbos itself to keep it warm, to insulate it. You have to wrap it up before Shabbos. So he says you're also not allowed to wrap up cold food. to keep it cold. You'd want to insulate it to keep it cold. He says you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos either. Omer lefon of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, but Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi said to him,
keep it cold when it's cold.
When it's here.
If you wrap it up, it's going to be warm.
No, because it insulates it. It helps keep heat from the room getting to it. Anyway, Omer lefon of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi. No, Abba Hitzel Hafman Hatzain. No, my father Rabbi Yaisi said it is mutter to wrap up cold food. Omalei, so Rebbe tells him in respect, okay, Kvar Hor Rav Zaken, in that case, then the elder Rabbi Yaisi has already given the halacha, in that case, then fine, I take back what I said. And Omer Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said on that also, Boyere Kam Chab Ben Zeze, come look how much the Chacham and Rabbi Yisrael love and respect each other. To either Rabbi Yaisi Kayem, Hayakopu, Yoshev, Lisnei Rebbe. If Rabbi Yossi had still been alive, he would have had to be sit. Even though he was from an older generation, he would have had to be bent over and sitting in front of Rebbe because Rebbe is the Rosh Shiva. And we know that because we know Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was just as great as his father. He was fully able to take over his father's place by a kafah for Yoshev Lisnei Rebbe, and he sat as a Talmud in front of Rebbe. Even though in caliber he was much greater.
Considering himself as great as Rebbe.
Right, because Rebbe was the Rosh Shiva. But he was really greater. But yet Rebbe uses the expression, he says, in respect, look, the elder of Yossi has already said the halacha, and therefore I retract what I say in favor of his, so we see how much the Tamar HaChamim and Yossi all respect each other. So by the same thing over here, when Rish Lakish is saying, Pekodesh Yomadavazeh, it's not we're asking Hayitachin, how does Rish Lakish, the sharp guy, say to the thing. No, Fakir, we're saying, come look how even a sharp guy like Rish Lakish, look how respectfully he talks about Rebbe.
Was that a long time or before or after Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim?
This is after. The mayor was one of the Talmidim, was one of the later Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, actually. So I guess they learned their lesson. Yeah, so no, you can cover that, I guess so, yeah.
Rabbi Akiva was a generation before Rabbi?
Yes. So that's what I'm saying. Had Rabbi Yaisi still been alive, he would have been one of the Talmidim.
Right.
And then yet Rabbi is deferring to, and yet Rabbi is deferring to his.
Right.
Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with the Agata on this topic about the differences between Babel and Eretz Yisrael in that regard.
Right.
In Babel it wasn't like that, right.